السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، أما بعد. We begin by praising Allah Azza wa Jal, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. O slaves of Allah, O children of Adam, first and foremost, I advise myself and then all of you all to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sincere tawbah before it's too late. This month of Ramadan that we have been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with, it is a good opportunity to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an amazing opportunity for us to use to turn over a new leaf and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal states in the Noble Quran, وَتُوبُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. We all consider ourselves believers, right? So Allah Azza wa Jal is addressing us. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. O believers, O mu'minun, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So that you may become victorious, so that you may become successful in this world as well as the hereafter. So let us turn to Allah Azza wa Jal before it is too late, before the angel of death comes in front of us. At the end of the day, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul shall inevitably taste death. You and I, we don't have any guarantee as to how long we are going to remain on the face of this earth. Why? We don't even have a guarantee whether we will walk out of this masjid alive. This is how temporary and short this life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. This life is an opportunity to invest for the akhirah. Now that is the permanent life. Allah Azza wa Jal states in Surah Al-Mulk, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah Azza wa Jal, He created death and life for what purpose? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. To test which one of you is best indeed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to attain His pleasure during this month. Ameen. Now we come to the story of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. We're going to continue from where we left off yesterday. So we mentioned yesterday that Adam alayhi salatu wa salam was created by Allah Azza wa Jal. Yes? And he was all alone by himself. He was feeling lonely. He was feeling lonely as he was all alone. And then one day he sleeps, and when he wakes up, he sees someone beside him. And then he asks that person, "Who are you?" And that person said, "I am a woman. I am a woman." And then he asks her, "Who created you?" And then she says, "Allah created me." "Why were you created?" Adam alayhi salatu wasalam asks her. And then she replies, "لِتَسْكُنَ إِلَيْ." So that you may find peace by me. So that you may find tranquility by me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Noble Quran,
وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا.
And from His signs, from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, that He has created from within you all mates, spouses, partners, your wives, husbands. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. For what purpose? So that you may find peace by them. So that you may find tranquility by them. So she replies to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, لِتَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهِ, so that you may find peace by me, so that you may find tranquility by me. And now the angels who are observing this spectacle, they ask Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, in a way they wanted to test Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, because yesterday we mentioned, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taught Adam alayhi salatu wasalam the names of everything. So they ask Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, "Ya Adam, name her. What is she called?" And then he replies, "Ya Hawa. She is Hawa." Then they ask her, "Why Hawa?" He replies, because here, خُلِقَتْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ, because she has been created from a living thing, i.e. we mentioned yesterday that Allah Azza wa Jal created Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam, Ahmad Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam, from the rib of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. From the rib of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Now that they both have been created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now commands them both to live in Jannah. Both our parents were commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to live in Jannah. Allah Azza wa Jal states, once again in Surah Al-Baqarah,
وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةَ وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا.
And then we said, O Adam, وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ, you and your wife, dwell in paradise, live in paradise, وَقُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا, and eat, both of you, freely with pleasure and delight of the things that are there in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say,
وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرًا.
But then don't even think of getting close to this particular tree. Do not come near this tree,
فَتَكُونَا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ,
or you both will be from the ظالمون, from the wrongdoers. Jannah is for you. Go about wherever you want. Eat what you wish. Do what you want.
وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ,
but don't think of getting close to this one particular tree. Now just imagine, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, just imagine the vastness of Jannah. How vast is Jannah? How spacious is Jannah? And just imagine the joys and delights in Jannah. All of that was given to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam. There was just one thing: don't get close to this particular tree. So at that point, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam, they thought, Jannah is for us, so why this tree? Let's completely stay away from this tree. And they didn't even get close to that particular tree, because after all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us, has prohibited us not to go near that particular tree. وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Now before we move on to the story of that tree, there is a difference of opinion, and I thought it worthwhile to mention it, a difference of opinion amongst the scholars as to whether this Jannah that we are talking about, whether it was in reality the Jannah that you and I, we are going to go to inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to attain Jannah, open the doors of Jannah for all of us, ameen. Whether it was that Jannah, or whether it was some other Jannah, or whether it was even a Jannah on the face of this earth. Because what is the translation of Jannah? Jannah is garden. So, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about the Jannah in the sense paradise, or was it some other garden, perhaps in the heavens, or even on earth? Even on earth. Now, there is a difference of opinion amongst the scholars. But what the Jumhur, what the majority of the scholars are upon, and according to me as well, the more favorable opinion is that the Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about, in other words, the Jannah that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam were admitted entry into, was the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sense paradise. The Jannah that you and I were headed to, Jannatul Ma'wa, the Jannah, the paradise, it was that. Because when you analyze the ayah, when you analyze the ayah that I just read, وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ, and remember we said to Adam, O Adam, you and your wife dwell in Jannah. Now analyze the word Jannah, you will notice that there is an alif lam before the Jannah. Before the word Jannah, there are two letters, alif lam, that have been attached to the word Jannah, which makes it al-Jannah. Now in the Arabic language, this alif lam is known as the definite article. The definite article. In other words, when alif lam enters upon a particular word, just say for example, baytun. An Arabic word, a simple word, baytun. If you were to translate it, now it is in the form of nakira, in the sense indefinite. So you would translate it saying, a house. Baytun, a house. But the minute alif lam enters into it, and it becomes al-baytu, now you would translate it as the house. The house. Now if I were to tell you all, I went to a house. If I were to tell you all now, I went to a house. Now you might wonder, which house? Nakira, indefinite. It's indefinite. I went to a house. How many houses are in Mala? Say for example, 100,000, 200,000 houses. It could be any house from the 200,000 houses. You don't know which house. But if I were to tell you all, brothers, I went to the house. Or I went to the house. Now it's becoming specific. Now you know which house I'm talking about. You know which house I'm talking about. It's become definite instead of being indefinite. So Alif Lam in the Arabic language, you know, I don't want to go too much into the technicalities, but just for to understand this particular difference of opinion, when Alif Lam enters into a particular word, you either have, it serves the purpose of Al-Ma'rifa, which is to make an indefinite word definite, that's one. And number two, you have a Ahdiyya. And this Ahdiyya is known as, for example, there are two types, main two types, or three types rather. The first type is a dhikri. Let me give you an example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Noble Quran, كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ رَسُولًا. Just as how we sent to Fir'aun a messenger, Rasulah. As you can see, there is no alif lam in this word, Rasulan, a messenger. فَعَصَى فِرْعَوْنُ الرَّسُولُ. Just analyze this sentence. We sent a messenger to Fir'aun, and Fir'aun disobeyed the messenger. Now which messenger are we talking about? The messenger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. We sent a messenger to Fir'aun, and Fir'aun disobeyed the messenger. Which messenger? The messenger that we sent. Now this is a type where it has already been mentioned before. It has already been mentioned before. Like say for example, if I were to tell you all, I was reading a book. Okay, and if I were to mention the name, I was reading a book, Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah of Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah. And the very next sentence, if I were to tell you, in that book, or I found it in the book. Now you would all know which book I'm talking about because I just mentioned a book, Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah. So this is one. The second type is Al-Dhihni. Now this type is when you already know what I'm talking about. This is in your mind. This is in your mind. Just as how when a father looks at his son and tells his son, idhab ila al-bayt, idhab ila al-bayt. He will tell him, go home. Go home. Now he doesn't necessarily have to tell him the address, you know, you need to go by this place, by that place. You know, he doesn't have to give him an address. He doesn't have to tell him specifically where to go. He can just tell him, go home, and the child will know where to go. Because dhihni, it is in the mind of the child already. It is in the mind of the child already. But instead, if you were to tell some other child, go home, that child will not know where to go. Because that child does not know which home this man is indicating towards. So likewise, this dhihni is what is in the ayah. وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. You, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and your wife dwell in Jannah. Now with Jannah, we already know which Jannah. There's just one Jannah, we all know that Jannah. So that's why this Alif Lam has come to say, the paradise. Which paradise? The paradise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised for us. The paradise that Allah azza wa jal has promised for us. So from this difference of opinion is sorted out. And the majority of the scholars are upon the opinion that it is the Jannah, the paradise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in store for us. Now moving on, back to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Now Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam, they were both in Jannah. Now Shaytan begins his evil mission. Why? Now he has been banished out of Jannah. He has been expelled from where he was. So now what did he say? لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I am going to mislead all of them. فَبِعِزَّتِكَ. He promised by Allah, by the might of Allah, لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I am going to misguide all of them. So now he starts his evil mission. Now he starts to think, how can I mislead and lead astray? How can I put Adam alayhi salatu wasalam in a pit? You know, how can I make him commit a mistake? It is because for him, There's his vengeance. He wants revenge because he feels that it is because of Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, I was banished. It is because of him I was expelled. It is because of him I fell from my position. It is because of him now the limelight is on him, the spotlight is on him, all the attention is on him. It is all because of him. And you see how much of rancor, how much of hatred Iblis has towards us. So he starts this evil mission of his, and now he thinks, how am I to make him commit a mistake by going to the tree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade him to go towards? Now he starts thinking. Okay, and before we go further, the biblical version of this tree, they say that it was an apple tree. They say it was an apple tree. And sometimes many people think that it was an apple tree. But in reality, when we look at our nusus, our text, the Quran and the Sunnah, there's no mention of it being an apple tree or any other tree for that matter. Even though there are scholars who state that it was a palm tree or it was a grape tree. But Allahu Alam, Allah knows best. And most of the scholars state that this is something that Allah Azza wa Jal has not mentioned to us, because perhaps there's no benefit in us knowing which tree it was. So all we know is that it was a shajara, it was a tree bearing fruit. Which tree, we don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And this is something that scholars state, knowing this knowledge is not going to benefit you, and being unaware of it is not going to harm you. Being unaware of it is not going to harm you. Knowing which tree is not going to benefit you. So we leave it at that. We say it is a tree that was bearing fruit. So now we move on to the other issue. How did Shaytan, you know, start his waswas, start his whispering by Adam alayhi salatu wasalam? Now this is a bit of an issue because he was expelled. He was banished. So how did Shaytan enter? Now Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and his wife Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam, they're both in Jannah. They're both in Jannah. Shaytan is out. So how did he enter Jannah to execute his mission? How did he enter Jannah? The books of history and scholars mention that he, Iblis, he sought the help of a snake. Hayya, of a snake. He sought the help of a snake. He went to a particular snake, sought the help of that particular snake, and entered the snake's body through its nostrils. And then the snake slithered into Jannah unnoticed. But before we go further, and before a doubt crops into our minds that he may have perhaps done this without the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is impossible. Nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's knowledge is ever encompassing. It does not have a beginning, nor does it have an end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. And my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, even this was decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. Allah azza wa jal knows about it. Allah decreed it. For wisdom, He knows alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal. It was all part and parcel of the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the divine decree of Allah azza wa jal. Now Shaytan enters Jannah in the body of a snake, and he approaches Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the noble Quran. فَوَسْوَسَ إِلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانُ قَالَ يَا آدَمُ هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى. Now Shaytan, he whispered to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, saying, "Oh Adam." Now you see, Shaytan is a very cunning individual. He's a cunning individual. And throughout the annals, and you know, after all these years, after witnessing so many generations of mankind, he has become very, very experienced, even more cunning, because after all, he currently is the oldest individual living on the face of this earth, Shaytan. He was there before our father Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. He saw our father and he's still there. And according to the dua that he made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we discussed yesterday, Rabbi anzirni ila yawmi yub'athun, qala fa innaka minal munzirin. He has been given time until the day of Qiyamah. So he will be there until the day of Qiyamah, until he faces death. So he is an experienced, artful, cunning, sly enemy who lies in wait for us. And now look at him. He did not go to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and tell him, "Go and eat the fruit of the tree." Instead, he started whispering, هل أدلك على شجرة الخلد؟ Shall I not inform you of a tree? If you consume its fruits, you will be able to live for eternity. وَمُلْقٍ لَا يَبْلَى. And you will also possess a kingdom that will never ever be destroyed. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَن تَكُونَ مَلَكَيْنَ. If you eat the fruit, he tried another tactic. If you eat the fruit, you too will become angels. Now who would not want to become angels? لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. They don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 24/7 they are in the worship of Allah azza wa jal. So he tried different tactics and he started to do this waswas. He started to whisper in the minds of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam. They tried to shun him away. They kept on shunning him away. Okay? They kept on shunning the whispers of shaitan until finally,
وَقَاسَمَهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ.
What did he do? Finally, he swore by Allah. He swore by Allah. He took an oath. By Allah, wallahi, verily, I am one of the sincere advisors to you both. There's a very important point to be highlighted here. There are some people who state that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he consumed the fruit of that tree out of greed. Out of greed. Because he wanted to live forever. Because he wanted a kingdom that will never perish. And all other, harsh statements against Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. But in reality, you know what happened at that point, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. You and I, we need to put ourselves in the shoes of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. He started whispering using different tactics. You will become angels. You will become this. You will become that. You will live for an eternity. Who would not want to live in Jannah forever and ever? Enjoying the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Enjoying the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you were to say that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam became greedy, and because of his greed, he consumed the fruit. Because of his greed to live forever and ever, it's actually depicting Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, who is a Nabi. Don't forget, he was a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu al-Bashar, the father of mankind, our father. It is in a way depicting him in a very bad way. He was greedy and that's why he consumed the fruit. Or he was greedy but he wanted to live forever and ever. No, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. In reality, he wanted to live forever to enjoy the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wanted to, be, perhaps at times the way shaitan put it in his mind, if you eat it, you'll become an angel. He wanted to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these were the things that were in his mind, but he kept shunning them away because Allah had prohibited him. وَلَا تَقْرَبَا. Don't get close to the tree. But then finally, what did shaitan do? He took a promise. He took an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And scholars explain that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was upon such a pure state of mind. Because he was the first human being. He had never ever experienced anybody lying. You and I, we experience people lying. And we find it very difficult to trust people. But Adam alayhi salatu wasalam had never experienced anybody lying to him or anybody cheating him. He was of such a pure state at that point. And to top it all, what did shaitan do? I promise by Allah. So Adam alayhi salatu wasalam thought, if an individual is promising by Allah, this individual cannot be a liar. He is obviously speaking the truth. He cannot lie. He is promising by Allah. وَقَاسَمَهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. I am from the sincere advisors. Wallahi, by Allah, I am a sincere advisor to you both. So the minute he promised by Allah, he listened to shaitan and they both consumed the fruit. He took it lightly and this waswas of shaitan kind of clouded his mind. And he and Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam, they consumed the fruit of that tree. Now no sooner they ate the fruit of the tree, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, فَأَكَلَا مِنْهَا فَبَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا. When they both ate of the tree, فَبَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا. their private paths immediately became exposed. Scholars, rahimahumullah, mention that either their private parts were covered, their private parts were covered, unlike certain cartoons and pictures that you see people walking naked, they were not walking around naked, because the ayah says their private parts became exposed, in the sense it was already covered. This is one opinion. The other opinion is that their private parts were covered with light. Their private parts were covered with light. But the minute they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ate the fruit, their private parts became exposed. And according to the natural fitrah of man, we are born with modesty, with shyness. The minute Adam alayhi salatu wasalam saw the awra, the private part of Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam, and the minute Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam saw the private parts of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, they were shocked, they were petrified, they had never seen one another in such a way. They ran away from one another, they broke apart, and Adam alayhi salatu wasalam ran in one direction, Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam ran in another direction. Allah Azza wa Jal states,
وتفقا يخصفان عليهما من ورق الجنة.
And what did they do? They started to pluck and claw away at the leaves of the trees of paradise to cover their private parts. They started to pluck leaves from the trees, and they started to cover their private parts. Now, whilst they were doing this, in the book of Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, it is mentioned that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is plucking the leaves of the trees and covering himself, was running away. Suddenly a branch from one of the trees, snagged him, and he got caught to that particular branch. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, "Ya Adam, are you running away from me? Afirara minni, are you running away from me?" And then Adam alayhi salatu wasalam replies, "Ya Allah, I'm not running away from you. I'm running away because I am ashamed to face you. I am ashamed to face you. I have disobeyed you, and that is why I am running." Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the ayah, وَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى. Thus Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He disobeyed wa'asa Adamu Rabbah. Allah subhanahu Adam alayhi salatu wasalam disobeyed the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In regard to this incident, in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states,
فَدَلَّاهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ فَلَمَّا ذَاقَ الشَّجَرَةَ بَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا وَطَفِقَا يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ.
Shaitan, he misled them with deception. He deceived them. Shaitan, our arch enemy, he deceived them. And when they had tasted of the tree, that which was hidden, in the sense their private parts, became manifest to them. It became exposed to them. And then they started to tafiqa yakhsifani alayhima min waraqi al-jannah. They started to take the leaves of the trees of paradise, and they started to cover themselves up. And then wanadahuma rabbuhuma, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses them both.
Alam anhakuma an tilkuma ash-shajarati wa aqul lakuma inna ash-shaytana lakuma adun mubin.
And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, did I not forbid you of that tree, and did I not tell you that shaitan is an open enemy unto you? Inna shaitana lakuma adubun mubin, that indeed shaitan is a clear enemy to both of you. And then they both cry out,
رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ.
They cry out, Ya Allah, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We have wronged ourselves. We have oppressed ourselves. ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا. If you do not forgive us, if you do not show us your mercy, لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. We shall indeed certainly be from the losers. Allahu Akbar. Now they immediately cry unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you can see this is the difference between man and shaitan. Shaitan, he committed a mistake. He disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he showed his arrogance and his pride. And he blamed Allah. فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي, because you misled me, I will lead them all astray. But look at man, the minute he commits a mistake, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why I started off the talk by saying, turn to Allah azza wa jal before it's too late. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is reported to have said, كُلُّ ابْنِ آدَمَ خَطَّاهُ, that every child of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, they all commit mistakes. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ, and the best of those who commit mistakes are the tawwabun, are the ones who turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah. We all commit mistakes. Can anyone raise their hand in the gathering and say that I have never ever committed a mistake throughout my life, I've never committed a sin? You and I, we are perpetual sinners, constant sinners. When we walk on the streets, we sin. When we open our mouths, we sin. When we talk, we sin. Our other faculties, they all commit sins. We are sinners. The best of sinners are the ones who turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah. So we need to keep turning to Allah azza wa jal. Tawbah needs to become part and parcel of our day-to-day lives. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. Look at whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing. Allah didn't say, oh you sinners, oh you criminals, ya mujrimoon. No. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Oh you who have brought in iman, tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. Now you might wonder, why do the people of iman, mu'minun, why do they have to turn in tawbah? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. O you who have brought in iman, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sincere tawbah. May Allah azza wa jal help us all to turn to Him in sincere tawbah. In another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is reported to have said that Allah azza wa jal states, this is a hadith Qudusi, words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrated through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but not Quran, it is hadith. Ya ibn Adam, إِنَّكَ مَا دَعَوْتَنِي وَرَجَوْتَنِي غَفَرْتُ لَكَ عَلَى مَا كَانَ فِيكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي. Beautiful narration. This narration should make us tear in reality. O son of Adam, Ya ibn Adam, إِنَّكَ مَا دَعَوْتَنِي وَرَجَوْتَنِي, as long as you supplicate unto me, and as long as you have hope in me, غَفَرْتُ لَكَ عَلَى مَا كَانَ فِيكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي, I will forgive you of your sins, and I will not worry about it. I will not even turn and look at it. وَلَا أُبَالِي, I will not be bothered about it. I will not be bothered about it. Ya ibn Adam, O son of Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء ثم استغفرتني غفرت لك ولا أبالي. O son of Adam, even if your sins were to reach the heavens, even if your sins were to reach the heavens, and if you were to seek forgiveness by me, I will forgive you and I will not bother about it. Ya ibn Adam, إنك لو أتيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا ثم لقيتني لا تشرك بي شيئا لأتيتك بقرابها مغفرة. O son of Adam, even if you were to come to me with sins equivalent to this planet, Allahu Akbar, sins equivalent to this planet, if you were to come to me not associating partners, not committing shirk, not associating partners unto me, I will come to you, لَأَتَيْتُكَ بِقِرَابِهَا مَغْفِرًا, I will come to you with forgiveness equivalent to that. Allahu Akbar. With forgiveness equivalent to that. If you come to me with sins equivalent to this planet, I will come to you with forgiveness equivalent to this planet. As long as you come to me without associating partners unto me. This particular hadith has been recorded by Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, and class sahih by Imam ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, as well as Imam al-Albani rahimahullah. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the minute they cried unto Allah azza wa jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, ثُمَّ جِتَبَاهُ رَبَّهُ فَتَابَ ثُمَّ جِتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ وَهَدَى. Then his Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, chose him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned to them with forgiveness. Allah azza wa jal forgave them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them. But my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the mistake had been committed and the consequences had to be faced. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now commands them, قُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands them to go down. Ihbitu. Descend where? To this world. Minha jami'a. Minha in the sense from Jannah, all of you. Now who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing? Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, Hawa alayhi salatu wa salam, and Shaytan. All of you. Descend.
فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايِ.
And whenever there comes to you guidance from me, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating this, فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ, as for the one who follows my guidance, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, there shall be no fear on them, nor shall they grieve.
وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا,
but as for the one who rejects and the one who belies my signs, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ, they are the dwellers of the blazing fire of Jahannam. They are the denizens of the fire of Jahannam, هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, and they shall abide therein forever and ever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Ameen. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Jannah is where we really belong. We don't belong here.
كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبَ وَعَابِرُ السَّبِيلِ.
The words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, be in this world like a gharib, like a stranger, or a passerby, like a traveler. Like a traveler. Say you are transiting in a particular country. It's a very temporary setup. You're not going to start, you know, unpacking your... You won't even unpack your bag. Let alone build houses and buy expensive motor vehicles. These are not haram, but yet we need to get our priorities straight. At times we hanker so much behind this dunya that we don't have time for al-akhirah. We don't have time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the abode that we are going to dwell forever and ever. We need to invest now, and this is the grounds to invest for that life.
My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the only size of regret, you know, you sigh when you're sad, oh, the only size of regret that the dwellers of Jannah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all dwellers of Jannah, ameen, the only size of regret that the dwellers of Jannah will experience will be that, oh, I should have said one more subhanallah, I should have said one more alhamdulillah, I should have said one more Allahu Akbar, I should have prayed another two more raka'at of nafil prayers. If I had said one more subhanallah, I would have another tree in my orchard. I would have another tree in my beautiful garden. I would have another palace that belongs to me. Because once you enter Jannah, you can't earn for Jannah anymore. This is the time that you need to invest for your akhirah. So don't waste the valuable time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. We don't know how many more seconds we have with us, how many more minutes we have with us. Let us spend every minute, every second, every millisecond to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jal help us all to do so. Now where did they descend on earth? Where did Adam alayhi salatu wa salam descend? Where did Hawa alayhi salatu wa salam descend? This has been mentioned by certain scholars that Adam alayhi salatu wa salam descended fil Hind, in India. In India, Hawa alayhi salatu wa salam somewhere close to Jeddah. Somewhere close to Jeddah in the lands of Arabia. And this is why certain scholars from the Indian subcontinent, you know, in Sri Lanka, the country that I come from, you have a mountain known as Adam's Peak. Adam's Peak. They say, certain of them, certain historians state that this may have been the point where Adam alayhi salatu wasalam descended. And that's why it's known as Adam's Peak. The thing is, the Buddhists from my country, they claim that that's where Buddha, you know, came down. Each religion has different claims. So this is not conclusive. We don't have any conclusive evidence. But they say there's a possibility, because books of history mention that he descended somewhere in India, right? So they say that there is, because before Sri Lanka was actually joined to India. Sri Lanka was a country that was, you know, somewhat joined with India until it broke off. So they say that there is a possibility that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam could have come down there, and that's why they say that Sri Lanka is like paradise, you know, is like a Jannah, mashallah. Because he came down with fruits. Some other scholars mention that he came down with the Hajarul Aswad, and he came down with certain fruits from Jannah,
And he cultivated those fruits. He cultivated those fruits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him all of that. How to survive. He was basically given a survival guide. How to survive on earth. And he cultivated fruits. He knew how to weave clothes. Because the minute they came down, in the book of Imam al-Kathir rahimahullah, he mentions that they were feeling extremely hot. The heat of the sun was unbearable because they were not wearing any clothes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down an angel to teach Adam alayhi salatu wasalam how to procure cotton and to weave clothing for themselves. So these were things taught to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Now they were both in two separate locations and they meet after a long period of time, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam. And also one more point as to how long did Adam alayhi salatu wasalam remain in Jannah. This is a matter that the scholars have differed upon. Some scholars state that he was in Jannah for 40 years. Others state for 60 years. And Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, he states that they only remained from the time after Salatul Asr, that is the time now that we are seated in this particular time frame, after Salatul Asr, and they were taken out of Jannah close to Salatul Maghrib. Such a short period. But we need to also understand that one day fil akhirah, one day of the akhirah is equivalent to how many years of our time? 1,000 years. Fi yawmin kana miqdaruhu alf sanatin mimma ta'udun. One day is equivalent to 1,000 years of our time. So it must have been a very long period. But still, when you calculate it based on the days of al-akhirah, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma states, it was after Asr until Salatul Maghrib. And he coincides this with the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Adam alayhi salatu wasallam was created on a Friday. He was admitted entry into Jannah on a Friday. So he states that after Asr, they were admitted entry into Jannah. And he was taken out of Jannah also on a Friday. So all of this happened during one day. This is Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma's opinion. So now after they came down to earth, now Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam, they both meet. And after a period of time, Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam, she gives birth to 40 children. She gives birth to 40 children through 20 pregnancies. In the sense, every pregnancy that she delivered twins, two children. So 2 into 20, 40 children in total. And at that time, the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was that normally a boy and a girl would be born, a male and a female, from each pregnancy. 20 pregnancies, 40 children. So the male and female from one pregnancy could not get married to one another. It was haram. The male and female from one pregnancy, from the same pregnancy, who shared the same womb, they could not get married to one another. So the male from the first pregnancy had to get married to the female of the second pregnancy, and the female of the first pregnancy had to get married to the male of the second pregnancy. This was how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread the children of man of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam across the face of this earth. The male of the first pregnancy had to get married to the female of the second pregnancy, and the female of the first pregnancy had to get married to the male of the second pregnancy. But for them to get married together from the same pregnancy, it was haram. It was not permitted at that time. So there were two children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. With that we will conclude inshaAllah ta'ala. Two children. They were known as Qabil and Habil. Cain and Abel. Qabil and Habil. Now Qabil, he had a sister, and obviously Habil had a sister as well. Now according to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Habil had to marry the sister of Qabil, and Qabil had to marry the sister of Habil. But now the issue at that time was that Qabil's sister, Cain's sister, was extremely beautiful. Even at that time they had these issues, beauty issues. Qabil's sister was really beautiful. And Qabil, Cain, he was wondering. And Habil's sister was not that beautiful. So Qabil had to marry Habil's sister, who was not that beautiful. So he looked at his sister and he was wondering, why should Habil get married to my sister who is so beautiful? And why should I marry his sister who is not that beautiful? Why can't I marry my own sister? Astaghfirullah al-Azim.
Now these were the thoughts that were running in his mind, Qabil's mind, Cain's mind. So now they had a bit of an issue, an argument, and they took this issue to their father, who? Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Now they go to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and they inform him of this predicament that they were in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals unto Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and Adam alayhi salatu wasalam instructs both of them, Qabil and Habil, Cain and Abel, to offer a sacrifice unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To offer a sacrifice unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And based on whose sacrifice is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that individual can get married to Qabil's sister. So now both have to offer a sacrifice, and the individual whose sacrifice was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would marry the sister of Qabil. Now this was the decision. Fine. Both of them went forward to offer a charity, offer a sacrifice unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you need to bear in mind that at that time there were no poor people. You didn't have anybody to go and give your sadaqah, your charity. There were no poor people at that time. So the laws of sadaqah at that time were that they had to take whatever they wanted to give in charity, offer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had to go and place it on top of a particular mountain, and a fire would descend and gobble up that charity. This was a sign that the charity was accepted by Allah, maqbool, accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Qabil, Cain, he was a farmer. Habil, Abel, he was a shepherd. He was a shepherd. So Habil, he brings the best sheep that he had. The best animal that he had. He was a farmer. He had sheep and goats. He brought the best sheep that he had to offer as a sacrifice unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qabil, who was a farmer, he brought the worst of his produce. The worst. No, fit for the garbage dump, you know, for the dustbin. Rotten. The worst produce that he had, he brought that and he placed that on top of the mountain. So obviously, I'm sure you all know which was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naturally, we have to give out the best when we give out things in charity, expecting reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the sacrifice, the charity of Habil was accepted, and the sacrifice of Qabil was rejected. A fire came down and it burnt the sacrifice of Habil, of Abel. The sacrifice of Qabil was just left like that. Now the minute this happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story in the Quran. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ أَبْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ. Oh, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recite to them, inform them the story of the two sons of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, Qabil and Habil. إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا, when they offered a sacrifice, a qurban, فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا, and it was accepted from one of them, وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ, and it was not accepted from one of them. The one whose sacrifice was not accepted, he said to the other, قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ, indeed I will kill you. Why? You see, anger, hatred. Why can't I marry my own sister? Why is he getting to marry my sister? Jealousy, envy, all of this had built up. And now the sacrifice also was not accepted. The decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was that Habil should marry Qabil's sister. So Qabil looks at Habil and says, لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ, I will definitely kill you. Habil very calmly replies back, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts only from those who are muttaqoon, people of taqwa. You have to give out charity with taqwa. You have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to be conscious of Allah azza wa jal. So he very calmly replies this, and then he says, لَإِن بَسَطَّ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطِ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
He says, if you لَإِن بَسَطَ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ, if you stretch your hand to kill me, مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطٍ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ, I shall never stretch my hand to kill you. Why? إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ, indeed I fear Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And then he goes on to say,
إني أريد أن تبوء بإثمي وإثمك فتكون من أصحاب النار وذلك جزاء الظالمين.
Verily, I intend to let you draw my sin on yourself as well as yours. You get double sin. Then you will be one of the dwellers of the fire of Jahannam, and this will be the recompense for the zalimun, for the ones who have wronged themselves. So Qabil, now he starts to plot and plan how to kill his brother Habil. And one day Habil gets late to return home. He had gone to tend to his animals. He was a shepherd like I mentioned, and he got a bit late to return home. And Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was now worried, where is Habil, where is Habil? And then he instructs Qabil, why don't you go and look for your brother, see whether any harm has befallen him, and bring him back home safely. Qabil goes out to look for Habil, and whilst he was going by the area where Habil used to let his animals graze, he finds Habil fast asleep by a tree. Qabil goes by his brother, and once again, the envy, hatred, anger. You see, shaitan uses all of these things, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that even at times family does not matter. Allahu Akbar. Family, your own brother. He looks for a huge boulder, a huge rock. He carries the rock and hurls it on the head of his brother. This was the first murder to ever take place. The first murder. The minute he did that, now he starts to regret, and he did not know what to do with the body of his brother. This is the first murder. They don't know funeral rites, they don't know anything. He did not know what to do. He was in so much of fear. Some scholars state that he was carrying the body of his brother and roaming around for so many days, not knowing what to do. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a crow.
فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ غُرَابًا يَبْحَثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُرِيَهُ كَيْفَ يُوَارِي سَوْءَةَ أَخِيهِ قال يا ويلتا أعجزت أن أكون مثل هذا الغراب فأواري سوءة أخي فأصبح من النادمين.
فبعث الله غرابا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a crow. يبحث في الأرض. It started to scratch the ground. ليريه كيف يواري سوءة أخي, to show him how to hide the dead body of his brother. The minute he saw that, he says, Ya waylata, woe be unto me, a'ajaztu an akuna mithla hadha al-ghurab, woe be unto me, I'm not even able to be like this crow. I'm not even able to be like this crow and hide the dead body of my brother. And then, فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ النَّادِمِينَ, he became from those who regretted. That was the first murder to take place. Scholars go on to state that until today, because what are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam? مَنْ سَنَّ سُنَّةً حَسَنَةً, the individual who sets a good trend, a good example, he gets a reward for it, and he gets the reward for every single individual who follows his example. On the other hand, the individual who sets a bad trend, a bad example, he gets the sin for that, as well as the individuals who follow him. Allahu Akbar. Scholars state that for every murder that takes place until the day of Qiyamah, a sin goes to Qabil. A sin goes to Qabil for killing his innocent brother Habil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, after this incident, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he lived for 960 years. Like I mentioned in the very first session, he was given 1,000 years, of which he gave his son Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam 40 years. And so he lived on the face of this earth for 960 years. Towards his latter stages, he instructs his son Sheath
Sheith alayhi salatu wasalam, who was the Nabi after Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, to take up the responsibility of spreading the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to spread the oneness of Allah azza wa jal after him. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was on his deathbed. He was in the throes of death, sakarat. At that particular point, he instructs his children, he calls his children, and he tells them, "Oh my children, I desire the fruits of Jannah. I want the fruits of Jannah. I desire the fruits of Jannah." Then the children, they know that, you know, the minute their father said this, they knew that there was no way that we can get the fruits of Jannah, but still let us try to comply and obey our father. They gather their tools and they go out to try and get fruits of Jannah. When they go out, they meet certain angels, and those angels ask them, "Where are you all going?" Then they said, "No, our father, he's on his deathbed and he is desiring for the fruits of Jannah, so we're trying to get fruits of Jannah." The angels said to them, go back, because your father has passed away. Your father has passed away, he has expired." So the children, they go back and they find that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam had passed away. And even at that point, they did not know what to do, because like I said, they were not taught funeral rites. They were not taught funeral rites. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down an angel to teach them the funeral rites. And then they bury Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. What they did was that they washed the body of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, they shrouded his body and they buried it. They fulfilled all of the funeral rites, and with that the story of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam comes to an end. Insha'Allah ta'ala, for tomorrow's session we will be discussing the story of Idris alayhi salatu wasalam, as well as the story of the Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, who was the first Rasul, the first messenger after all of these Anbiya. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was a Nabi, Sheith alayhi salatu wasalam was a Nabi, Idris alayhi salatu wasalam was a Nabi, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was the first Rasul to be sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with that we conclude. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of our sins, accept our good deeds, and unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen wa akhir da'wayan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Until we meet tomorrow inshaAllah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.